You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 15th of June 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got some more good news to get into today, and the first news story really follows on from the one that we had yesterday, the right to say that there are only two sexes. People may wish to change their gender, but you cannot actually change your biological sex. You cannot actually change your chromosomes. Today we have a new story that proclaims that it is okay to say that women have vaginas. Imagine that, thinking that that would be a controversial statement in 2021. A mother of two law student who was investigated by university chiefs after saying women have vaginas has today been cleared of misconduct. An investigation? Seriously? An investigation is called for at university? It's like investigations that are being called for. Anti-terrorism investigations are being called for in a school as well, I heard yesterday, because somebody supposedly desecrated a Quran. And I wonder how you can desecrate a book. Did somebody tear a page out from it or something like that? And they're now being investigated for terrorism. And what we have here is we have this student who said something that basically everybody has accepted as fact for thousands of years. And she was investigated by her university for saying so. I mean, what does this say about what is being taught at universities? I pointed out before that political correctness means that something is not actually factually correct. It means it is not correct. And the reason for that is because it has that predeterminator at the beginning where it says politically. It's adding something to the word correct. And if you're modifying the word correct, then it means it's not correct, is it? And if you're going to put politically before the word correct, you're modifying the word correct, which means it is no longer correct. So political correctness, it means something is not correct. Mature student Lisa Keogh, 29, was hauled before a disciplinary panel at the University of Abertay in Dundee after her comments, made during a seminar on transgender issues, were reported to tutors by her classmates. Well, if you can't say things like this during a seminar on transgender issues, then where can you say it? I mean, you could say that perhaps it's not socially polite to be talking about those sort of topics in some situations, but you would imagine that this would be exactly the right place to be discussing these sort of issues during a seminar on transgender issues. Is this not an issue that transgenders have, that they are very concerned, that they wish to change society so that people think that men can also have vaginas? I mean, this is the issue here, and it's at universities that you would expect these sort of things to be discussed and talked about. You're supposed to have your views challenged at university. That is the whole point of it. It seems to have changed now to be a place where you are indoctrinated with whatever the government wants you to be indoctrinated with. That's how university is today. It's not teaching people how to research things and question things. They're just being taught to repeat whatever it is they're told. After a two-month probe, which took place while she underwent her final year exams, the university's disciplinary board has decided not to uphold the misconduct charge against her. Well, that's nice of them, isn't it? during her exams as well. So right at the most stressful time for her, when she's working really hard to revise for her exams, she's had this this investigation going on all at the same time. I wonder if she was actually suspended from the university while they investigated this as well. Today, Miss Keogh hit out at the university for subjecting her to what she described as a cruel modern-day witch hunt due to her gender-critical views. And that is what it is like. It is like the accusation of heresy back in the Middle Ages. If you dared to say something like, the bread does not turn into Jesus's body and the wine does not turn into Jesus's blood, then you were denounced as a heretic. In some cases, you could be burned at the stake for being a witch. And what we have today, we have a similar dogma, don't we? We have this dogma that men can become women, that everybody is all equal, that race is just a social construct. We have all these dogmas which are not actually borne out by reality, that they're not factual, and yet everybody is expected to go along with them. And if they don't go along with them, then they get cancelled, or they can lose their job, or they can get their social media accounts shut down. In the worst cases, people can be sent to prison just for questioning the modern day politically correct dogmas. The university deny Miss Keogh was put through the disciplinary procedure because of her personal opinions. Well, why was she being put through this procedure? And I dare say that Miss Keogh will say, well, look, this is not a personal opinion. This is a fact. This is biology here. It is only women that are born with vaginas. A transgender male may wish to modify his body and make a cosmetic attempt at producing something similar to a vagina. I believe they call them neo-vaginas, but it is only women, which means womb men. Women are basically men with a womb. It's only them that are actually born with vaginas. Well, why should this be a controversial fact? It's interesting that they actually call women men with a womb, because it's actually everybody that is female at first, and then if you have a Y chromosome as well as the X chromosome, then the fetus continues to evolve in the womb, and the fetus will evolve male characteristics, interestingly enough. So to say that women are men with a womb isn't really quite correct. Men are women with penises, when you look at it like that. It's also interesting to think that actually males are more evolved than females, because they continue to evolve in the womb past the stage that the female fetuses get to. In a comment sent to Mail Online, a victorious Miss Keogh said, "As overjoyed as I am about this decision, I am saddened that I went through this at such a critical time in my university career. The very end of my period at Abertay is now tarnished with these bad memories. I know the university has a duty to investigate all complaints, but to draw this process out for 2 months while I was taking my final exams was needlessly cruel." And I would say it was completely unnecessary as well. I mean, she's bringing this subject up during a transgender seminar, exactly where she should have brought it up. They should have just said, well, there's nothing to investigate. This is protected by law, that people can have their own opinions and people have a right to their own opinions. And this is not an offensive opinion. This is a biological fact that everybody has just taken for granted and believed for thousands of years. So quite clearly, it's protected speech. She's not inciting hatred against anybody to say that women have vaginas. It's not grossly offensive, which is another tack they try to use legally. So really, there should have been no investigation here. She says, "I always knew the complaints made against me were groundless, and now the Student Disciplinary Board has confirmed that. I was targeted because of my gender-critical views. It was a modern-day witch hunt." So this is her point. This was personal. It was because people didn't like her. That's why they were going after her. They weren't going after her because of her views. They were going after her. Well, they were going after her because of her views, but it was personal. It was a personal thing here, because she is critical of gender ideology, as are much of society. Most of society are critical of it and don't understand why this is going on. I mean, why would you encourage gender dysphoria? As I pointed out the other day, it's not gender euphoria. It's not a good condition to be in. And you would think that society would do all that it could to prevent people from being confused about their gender. And the way to do that is to reinforce gender, not to have gender neutral things and try to tell people to not reinforce their gender and tell little boys to behave like little girls and little girls to behave like little boys. That's just creating the conditions for more of this, dysphoria, more of this depression, more people that end up killing themselves because they're not happy within the body that they are in. Society is going about this in all the opposite way that it should. And of course, I would suggest that the reason for that is because it's being used to weaken society. We have various different groups, various different extended kinship groups, and they are all competing against one another for success within limited territory. And this is one of the ways that these groups can defeat the other groups, is to weaken the other groups by promoting these sorts of ideologies: transgender ideology, diversity, homosexual ideology, under the guise of just making everybody equal and all these things that on the surface would appear to be a good thing. In actual fact, they weaken society. They weaken our society to the benefit of these other groups. And that's what you have with multiculturalism. And the fault does not lie with the groups that are promoting these ideas. The fault lies with us as whites, as white heterosexuals, for going along with them and for not pointing out that what is actually going on is that we are being weakened as a nation. The row erupted after Ms. Keogh made comments during a discussion on transgender issues in an online seminar. She said during the seminar that women were born with female genitals and the difference in physical strength between men and women was a fact. And of course, these people don't like to hear facts, do they? I mean, that's what this is all about. It's about getting society to affirm things to be the way that the transgenders wish that they were. They wish that they were able to actually change from man into a woman or a woman into a man. And because they're not actually able to do that, they figure that the next best thing is to get everybody to pretend that they're able to do that. And this is what's so dangerous, because you get children that are confused about their gender, and then you get adults pretending to them that they can actually change their gender. Then when they become an adult and they realize that in actual fact they can't, and yet they've taken puberty blockers and the opposite sex's hormones, and they realize they've destroyed their body in a belief, in a fantasy, in something that could never, ever be true. And then they realize that they've been lied to by these grown-ups, the people that were supposed to be looking out for their best interests. That's what is really so insidious about this, is the way that it's affecting our children. Ms. Keogh was reported to academic chiefs by classmates who launched a formal probe for alleged offensive and discriminatory comments. I mean, reality is now considered to be offensive. And the only way that could happen is if we have taken a wrong turn in the past, where we are trying to form society to how we wish the world was, rather than how the actual world was. And as nationalists, we think we should be adhering to natural law and trying to live within the guidelines that nature has provided for us, instead of going against them. I mean, you cannot beat nature, but it does look as if Ms. Keogh has beaten the university here, and she has been absolved of all these allegations. So that's a great thing. Another news story that I have here, a positive news story, concerns the police. Manchester's new chief constable's refreshing view on woke policing. The public is fed up with seeing virtue-signalling police officers who make their personal views known, the new head of England's second largest force has said. Stephen Watson, the new chief constable of Greater Manchester Police, believes the public would rather see forces catching burglars than engaging in woke policing. What a breath of fresh air that is. I was not expecting to hear that from a chief constable. I mean, normally what you see is the police that get promoted to these top-ranking positions are usually promoted there because they are politically correct. And that's why they get put in that position, so that they say all the right things, say all the politically correct things to the general public. So to actually have somebody there who is against this is really surprising. And it must be because the Greater Manchester Police had a lot of failures, and they actually got put into a really serious state of review because of all the failures that have actually occurred there. So what they've done is that they've put somebody in there in charge who is actually very good at policing to try and fix the police force, rather than put somebody in there who is politically correct. Mr. Watson said that officers who overtly support campaign groups by taking the knee, wearing their pins, badges, or rainbow shoelaces threaten their ability to do the job impartially. And this is the point, because they're not supposed to show any bias, and yet if they are wearing things like that, they're showing a left-wing bias. I mean, their excuse will be, well, we're taking the knee because we're anti-racism. But taking the knee is part of Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter are an explicitly left-wing organization who have explicitly left-wing ways of dealing with racism. I mean, the right-wing way to deal with it is just to separate peoples and have black people over there and have white people over there. And then there would be no more racism. Racism would not be able to exist. That's the way to deal with it. I mean, as nationalists, we're the most anti-racist people there are, because we don't want to see racism ever, ever happen. And the only way you can do that is to keep the races apart. But of course, they won't promote that. They promote this idea of, well, we have to get down on our knees for Black Lives Matter. And that shows this left-wing bias that the police have. And it's the same with the rainbow shoelaces. What you're showing there is support for the promotion of homosexuality to children, rather than saying, well, we support equality. To be showing all the gay pride stuff is to be saying, well, we approve of all this stuff being shown to children, even though the definition of a homosexual is somebody that has homosexual sex, somebody that engages in homosexual sex. And yet, if you're a child, you're not supposed to be engaging in any form of sex. Nobody should know if they're homosexual until they're over the age of 16. So this idea that there are homosexual children, what it really shows is that these children must have been abused some way. I saw some statistics the other day that said up to half of homosexuals admit that they were abused by an older homosexual when they were a child. So that's half of them that have been abused. And if we're going to be promoting this gay pride stuff to children, it's basically just putting children into situations where they're more likely to be abused. And that's not to say that all homosexuals are child abusers or anything like that, but it is saying that there is more abuse that goes on in their community than in the general heterosexual community. And the police are supposed to be completely unbiased politically. They're supposed to police protests without fear or favour. And what we saw last year was a softly touch with the Black Lives Matter protests. And we saw police getting down on their knees, showing how much they supported the protest. And we saw very, very heavy-handed policing of the anti-lockdown protests, which, whether rightly or wrongly, ended up with being seen as right-wing protests. And again, we saw totally different policing with the Save the Statues protest, where We saw somebody actually jailed for urinating near a monument, whereas Black Lives Matter were free to deface monuments, actually destroy the Edward Colston monument, and nothing happened about that. The police just allowed that to happen. Yet when there was a white guy, a football supporter, and he urinated just to the side of a monument, he was given a 2-week prison sentence. So what we see is that there isn't impartiality in policing. And that's what this police chief is, chief constable, that's what he is pointing to here. We cannot have this impartiality and taking the knee, wearing badges and rainbow shoelaces. That all adds to it. On whether he would take the knee in uniform, Mr. Watson told the Daily Telegraph, "No, I absolutely would not. I would probably kneel before the Queen, God, and Mrs. Watson. And that's it." That's fantastic, isn't it, to hear a police officer actually say that and see it for what it is. It's kneeling down before someone. It's not a protest against anti-racism. It's kneeling down before Black Lives Matter. Mr. Watson, 52, began his new role last month at Greater Manchester Police, which is effectively in special measures, after a damning watchdog report revealed the force had failed to properly record 80,000 crimes. And again, what this shows is that these politically correct police officers, they're not actually going to be very good at policing, are they? What they've had to do is put in a police officer who is not politically correct in order to whip this police force into shape. You imagine that, failed to properly record 80,000 crimes. So the guy they put in there is somebody that is obviously not politically correct, doesn't believe the police should be politically correct. The police should just be correct, and they should be policing without fear nor favour. The other issue is, if you've got police and they're wearing rainbow shoelaces, they're showing support for Black Lives Matter, when you get somebody that is actually in court who is protesting against them, they can say, well, you were biased against me. You showed that you were supporting Black Lives Matter, so this was police harassment that you came after me. How can you say that this is an unbiased arrest? It's a wrongful arrest because you were on the side of this other group. So it actually opens the police up for all sorts of allegations, really, in court, I would have thought. During his first week in charge, he vowed he would quit if the force is not in a demonstrably better place within 2 years. Mr. Watson told the newspaper, "Impartiality is in danger of being upset in our age, and a desire to demonstrate that we would like to make common cause from time to time with people whose agenda is very difficult to disagree with. I do not think that things like taking the knee, demonstrating that you have a commonality of view with the protesters that you are policing, is compatible with the standards of service that people require of their police." And I think this is the same as what Priti Patel was saying as well. She was really not happy with the destruction of the Edward Colston statue last year. She was actually on GB News last night supporting the people that were booing the England football team when they took the knee, which is very refreshing. Quite good to actually see that new channel, GB News. I know it's not ethno-nationalist or anything like that, but at least it is putting across the alternative point of view. And they did actually get more viewers than Sky or BBC, the Sky or BBC news channels, that is, far more viewers than them on the Sunday night, which shows that there is a market for alternative news. Getting back to what Mr. Watson had to say here, officers could put themselves in a difficult place because if you demonstrate you are not impartial and you then have to make an arrest, how on earth do you assist the courts to come to a just judgment as to you having executed your powers of arrest in an appropriately impartial professional manner? See, this is it. It opens the police up to counter charges that they were not acting in an impartial manner. Mr. Watson, who avoids social media as a way to boost his own profile, good man, told the paper, "I think we're past the high watermark. The public are getting a little bit fed up of virtue signalling police officers when they would really rather we just locked up burglars." And of course, that's something that we've been saying here for years as nationalists that the crime rates are going up, particularly in London. When you think of all the resources that Sadiq Khan has put into policing Twitter, while on your streets you got people being murdered every other day and people being stabbed and running around with machetes in parks, and yet you've got all these resources going on, going after people saying things on Twitter and Facebook, and you've got Sadiq Khan talking about how much he supports Black Lives Matter. And again, the politicians should not be showing support for these organisations either, because they're supposed to be impartial. Mr. Watson says he hopes to improve confidence by sending officers to every burglary and investigating every crime. And of course, that's something that should be done anyway. But we did hear last year, or maybe the year before, that some police services, some police forces were actually only investigating every opposite number or every even number in a street. So they would say that this street, it will be the even numbers, that street, it will be the odd numbers. And if your house happened to be an odd or even number, you had a 50-50 chance of whether the police were even going to investigate it. And I hear that shoplifting now, if whatever has been stolen is under £50, the police aren't going to investigate it. And what this says is that in years to come, the crime is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And of course, this has all happened since our politicians decided that it would be a good idea to import people from countries that have much higher crime rates than ours. I mean, that is the fault of this. And the general idea is that, oh yes, but if they came to a civilized country, a first world country, then they won't have any reasons to actually go out and commit crime. But of course, that has proved to be a complete failure. And the sort of crimes that we see happening now in London are the same sort of crimes that you see happening in South Africa, running around with machetes, chopping people up. The same sort of crimes that we see happening out in the Middle East, people being beheaded, honour crimes, female genital mutilation, all these horrific crimes that are going on. None of them would be happening in our country if our politicians hadn't invited people in from those countries. Britain used to be 99.9% white until after the war. Mr. Watson has a reputation for turning around failing forces after he oversaw marked improvements in his last job as Chief Constable of South Yorkshire Police. Previous Greater Manchester Police Chief Constable Ian Hopkins stepped down in December after Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham said he asked him to resign in the wake of the scathing report by Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. And I do believe there was also accusations of not properly investigating grooming gangs, and that was a serious issue in Manchester. I did think that Andy Burnham was not going to get voted in again because of all these problems that they've had with the Greater Manchester Police. And I do hear that this Ian Hopkins, I think he's been taken on somewhere else straight away. It's not like he's in disgrace for allowing his police service to just ignore all these crimes and to let these white girls down of these grooming gangs. So good news that we have a chief of police of Greater Manchester Police who feels the same way about Black Lives Matter and taking the knee and gay pride and all of that being supported by the police. He feels the same way about that as pretty much we do and most of the country do. And that is that the police should be impartial. They should not be showing a preferential bias for any of these groups. They should be out there solving crimes and not policing Twitter or Facebook, although he didn't actually say anything about that. But quite clearly, violent crimes where people get physically hurt are far more important than worrying about people having hurt feelings. And so much of the time, this worry about hurt feelings is just because people don't want certain information to be told. They don't want certain facts to get out there. Because if they do, then there is a chance that people are going to vote out the people that are causing these problems, the people that have brought in all these troublesome types into our country. Information really is power. And the more information you can have, the more knowledge you can have, the better. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.